Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I mean, I realize that it kind of depends on the person, right? Because sometimes people say Thanksgiving is a very stressful time because, you know, we got a lot of food to make, we got a lot of things to prepare for, and you got that, you know, that family, and maybe it's because you're going to see family that you never see, but you're going to see them there, and it brings you a lot of stress, right? And then there are others that are like, they're excited because they're going to get to see family that they never get to see, and they're going to be there for Thanksgiving, and it's just a special time. And for me, I've got some really beautiful childhood memories of Thanksgiving way, way back as a young man, just enjoying the spread of the food, right, and just the cousins getting together and playing football out in the yard after the meal, and the adults are just all laid out in the floor, sleeping off the tryptophan, you know, turkey nap thing, football in the background. It's just a special time for me every year. I love Thanksgiving. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a more recent memory that makes me smile around Thanksgiving season. So my mother-in-law passed away in 2016. Her name was Vicky. We kids called her Nana. And she had this thing about Thanksgiving that you don't put up Christmas lights, Christmas trees, play Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. Why? Because you need to be thankful first, right? And I could hear her voice, you need to be thankful first. Don't put that stuff up yet. So in a niece family group chat, you know, in the text messages, somebody, and I won't call them out, put a picture that they'd put a tree up. And of course, we're on her, on them. Almost gave it away. And we're like, hey, listen, what would Nana say? Man, she'd be all over you. So anyways, I laughed because she was very passionate about that. And I get it. I understand. Because it feels like we live in a world where Thanksgiving is just one of those things that we got to hurry up and get past so that we can get to the next big event, Christmas. And we see this in retail, don't we? Unless you're Hobby Lobby, a Christian-based organization that focuses on that. Most retail, it's like big, big, big push. A lot of money made on Halloween. And as soon as the Halloween decorations are put away, boom, Christmas music, November 1st. Oh, that's a lot of Christmas music, isn't it? And so I kind of feel that sentiment of my mother-in-law, like, hey, we need to be thankful. So if it's okay, I think I want to talk today for a few moments about gratitude. Is it okay? A little different layout of a sermon. We're not going to like verse by verse. I'm just going to treat this like a Thanksgiving proclamation. And we're going to talk about gratitude for a moment. And the title of the message, if it'll stay up there, is called Choose Gratitude. And I was being tested on that as the projectors flickered. I'm like, God, I'm thankful. Right? Never fails it. When you preach on something, God's going to test you on that. Do you really mean that, boy? Yes. All right. So this morning, I want to start with something I've never done before, but I want to read the very first Thanksgiving proclamation. It's 401 years old. Came from William Bradford, the very first governor of a colony of people who settled over on the East Coast. They came across the Atlantic on a boat that you might remember is called the Mayflower, right? And they landed and they formed together, and this is the first governor. After a couple of hard years in this new country, this new world, they had this great feast. There's this proclamation that William Bradford shared, and it says this: Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundance harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, I would have starved on that diet, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and is inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill, ye, between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all of his blessings. There's a couple of observations I want to make. One of them is totally not to do with the sermon today, but I feel like it needs to be said. For those that would try to rewrite history and say America was not founded on Christian principles, I chuckle when I read this because our government, what we know as the United States of America, came from these people, and I think that they were pretty religious, right, when they came across here, across the Atlantic, and they were known as the Pilgrims, meaning a church group. They were trying to escape the Protestant Church of England. There were separatists, Congregationalists, Puritans that tried to purify the church, and Pilgrims, a church group of people that came to America to be able to worship God freely, to be able to be self-governed without a monarch telling them what they should do. And so these are the people that came here. So to that point, it's like, man, I think it's pretty obvious if you read history that there was a lot of Christian influence in the founding of our great nation. All right, that was not the sermon. That was just a freebie. But the second observation is this one. It's one of perspective. Now, I want to remind us that, you know, this was a big day for them, a feasting and abundance. But the 2 years prior to that were anything but those things. You know, 102 passengers were on the Mayflower in addition to the 28 crew, and they would make a 66-day journey across the Atlantic. It was rough, a lot of storms. It was bad. One person died. A mother gave birth to a child on the Mayflower, so they landed with the same amount of people that they started with. The problem then became when they landed in the winter time, because they're coming to a new world where nothing is established yet. They have no homes, no huts, no protection, and so they decided that they would wait out the first winter on the Mayflower. They would spend the winter on the boat. And so this is where all the problems come in. They started getting sick. Nobody knows what it was, but a lot of people died over the winter. And by the time spring came, I think it was almost half of that group of people were gone. And they were struggling to make to make their way on this new world, you know, kind of coming up with food and how to survive here. And so it was with the help of, I always say this name wrong, let me find it real quick. Wampanoag, it's a weird name, Wampanoag people. These native Indians that showed them how to cultivate the ground and how to look for the particular animals and stuff like that that they would eat. And so now you get this proclamation where their governor's telling them, hey, this is a time to give thanks to God. And I can't help but think that there are many people in that crowd that would say, yeah, but my wife's not here to enjoy this with me. My husband is not here to enjoy. My kids are not here to enjoy this time with me. And I'm struggling with being grateful and expressing gratitude when I really want to be ungrateful, or I really want to be bitter and complain and question, should we have made the trip in the first place? Does that make sense? So you think about the perspective of what they went through, and to get to the point where they're proclaiming their gratitude to God for his providence, his protection, it's pretty impressive that these people could have chosen bitterness, but they chose instead gratitude. And so this proclamation is a powerful reminder of the deep gratitude that the pilgrims had of God's providence. Even amidst the hardships and the establishing of a new colony, it set the stage for the tradition of Thanksgiving that we will observe this Thursday. It set the stage for Thanksgiving as a time of reflection, worship, and communal celebration of God's faithfulness. Now, this is against the backdrop of what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, hey, Timothy, you need to know this. In the last days, it's going to be bad. There are going to be people that love only themselves. They're going to be greedy. They're going to be arrogant. They're going to scoff at God. They're going to be disobedient to their parents. And he says they will be ungrateful. And so this is how he characterizes what life is going to be. And so against that backdrop, we, as followers of Christ, are called to be grateful. We're called to thanksgiving, and not just on one day a year, but a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Amen? And so as we look at this idea of choosing thanksgiving, it's a thread that goes throughout all of Scripture, from the Old Testament into the New Testament. There's a lot about thanksgiving. There are the patriarchs that had their sacrifices. There was a sacrifice of thanks to God that they would make. The Psalms are filled with many songs that include way much more praise than petition. Instead of asking, they're just praising God. In fact, there's one psalm that says over and over and over, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. I think sometimes we need to do that in church. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And in the Psalms, we see this thread of thankfulness there. You see it in the festivals and in their worship throughout the Old Testament, this idea of a thankful people recognizing that God is the one that has benefited them. We see it in the New Testament. Now, Jesus doesn't talk much on Thanksgiving, but he models it. These are great examples of Jesus, just to name a few. Before he would feed the multitudes, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and what did he do? It says he gave thanks for it. He gives thanks. He models thanksgiving and gratitude before he does the miracle of feeding the multitude. Another one was before he raises Lazarus from the dead. It says that he gets to the place where they were at, and he prays, and he says, I thank you, Father, that you've heard my prayer. Before he raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is modeling gratitude. He's modeling thanksgiving. And another one is special. We just observe is the Last Supper. Jesus is in the upper room knowing what was ahead of him. And in that context, it says he takes the bread and he gave thanks for it. He takes the wine and he gave thanks for it. So we see it modeled in the life of Jesus, this practice of faith and acknowledgement of God's sovereignty and control. And we also see it in the epistles. The epistles are like the Pauline epistles, specifically many imperatives. And an imperative is a command where he just tells us, be thankful. Not, hey, you should probably consider being thankful. He's like, be thankful. It's a command, right? So we see these commands to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So thanksgiving is portrayed as an essential aspect of a life that is surrendered to Christ. I think it is an integral part of our faith. And so thanksgiving should be very common amongst us who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, understanding that and walking in that is two different things. And that's why we're here today, to talk about it for a few moments. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul again, here's this imperative. He says, give thanks. It's a command that we should be returning gratitude for benefits received. We should be a thankful people. Give thanks. Now, typically, there are possibly three attitudes about thanksgiving. One attitude is one that is like, you know what? It's not necessary. And they may be, the reasoning may be this. Hey, I'm very successful. I'm smart. I've been good with money. And I've never had any help from anybody else. And I'm where I'm at today because of all of my work. And so they see no need to return thanks and gratitude because they kind of paved their own way. You think about the rich fool that Jesus references in Luke chapter 12. This guy, he says he's very successful. His crops have produced like an abundance and all of his barns are filled. He's like, what am I going to do? I know, I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns and then I'll fill those up. And then I'll say to myself, self, life's good. Sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus says, you fool. Tonight your very life will be required of you. Then what will happen to all that stuff that you've acquired? So in the parable of the rich fool, we see that this man is presumptuous about the future prosperity. He's just assuming it's going to be there. And he was ungrateful for the past prosperity. He did not enter God into the equation. He didn't take God into consideration. And because he gave God no credit for his blessings, he saw no reason to give thanks. The problem with this attitude and thankfulness is it is a practical atheism that fails to acknowledge God. It's like saying, hey, I got here all on my own. That's not a good thought about thanksgiving. So next one is a hypocritical attitude of thanksgiving. This is where we might invoke the name of God, but we say something like this. God, I'm glad that my life is not jacked up like that person's life over there. We don't do that, do we? My neighbor down the street, if they could just get it figured out like I have, I mean, I've got my life in order now, and I'm thankful, God, that I've got things figured out now, and I'm not messed up like them. It's like a hypocritical thanks where we're invoking the name of God. It reminds me of Luke chapter 18 with a self-righteous Pharisee who, he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like that sinner. I think that I'm not like that sinner. I'm better than he is. He's self-righteous. I tithe. He goes on this litany of things that he does. And in contrast to that, he says, but the sinner wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He just beat his chest and said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. And Jesus would go on to say, the one that went away justified was the humble, repentant sinner, not the self-righteous Pharisee. And so that's another attitude of thanksgiving, is one that's hypocritical in nature, where we might even use the name God, but we're really thankful for us and our achievements. And there's a third attitude, what I believe is the proper attitude, and it is a truly thankful person. I want you to know God's looking for truly thankful people, genuinely just thankful. I think of Luke chapter 17, the story where the 10 lepers beg Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us, heal us. Jesus says, all right, go show yourself to the priest. And as they're going, they're healed of their leprosy. And one of them, one out of 10, recognizes that he's been healed. It says, when he saw that, he turned around, goes back to Jesus, falls to his knees, praising God, giving thanks. And Jesus says, where are the other nine? Is this one person the only one that's going to come back and glorify God, bring glory to God? And so we see this picture here of this one man that returned as a, I think, a picture for all of us of what genuine thanksgiving looks like. And I would say this, that is thankfulness, and it's the only thankfulness that pleases God and that a spirit-filled saint should offer, is a genuine, humble thanksgiving. Can I just let you in on a little secret? None of us deserve God's grace. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be here today. But God in his love and his mercy has given us healing, if you will, like the lepers. And we should be like the one that turns around and acknowledges, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for making a way for me to be made right with you, apart from my own works of self-righteousness, but by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is a truly thankful person. So I think we understand that we are to be grateful. We are to choose gratitude. And I want you to know it's a choice. Every day we can wake up and we can choose gratitude, or we can choose bitterness or ingratitude, but we are to choose gratitude. Notice in Ephesians 5:20, it also says this, give thanks for everything. The ESV says, giving thanks always. Say always. When are we to give thanks? Always. So there are like three levels of thankfulness, I think, that we can all reason with. And the first one is like a no-brainer for all of us, because it's usually the one that follows a blessing. Somebody does something nice for you, and you're just like, hey, thanks. You've been praying about something, and God answers that prayer, and you're like, God, thank you for hearing my prayer. We get that one, right? That's a prayer of thanks after receiving a blessing. So it's a matter of fact, after the fact. And we look at the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago, and we're like, God, we still thank you for that gift of your grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you thankful? As a blessed people, are you thankful this morning? This is one that's probably easier for us because it usually comes after the fact. A second level of thankfulness that I think you see in some people, and I think it's really cool when you do, is one that is anticipation of the fact. In other words, it comes before. So it's being grateful for the hope of blessing and the victory that's yet to come. It's like saying, God, I want to thank you in advance. Now that's faith, isn't it? I'm praying something, and God, I just want to stop right now and thank you in advance that you've heard my prayer. I thank you in advance that you already know what I need. I thank you that you're going to answer in a way that is exceeding and abundantly more than I think or ask, because that's what Scripture says. I thank you, God, because you're omnipotent. There's nothing too difficult for you. I'm thankful that you're omniscient because you know all things. You know me. You know my needs. That's a whole other level, isn't it, to say, God, I want to thank you in advance? That's an anticipation of the fact. Do we see any examples of this in Scripture? I'm glad you asked. Yes, we do. One of my favorites is King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat is surrounded by all the enemies, the armies, and they're going to attack. And so they're praying, and the next morning it's time to go to battle, and King Jehoshaphat does something like really weird and not what we would think would be the best battle plan. He calls the worship team. He calls the worship leaders. He says, hey, you guys, front of the line. Me? I'm just a singer. Yeah, you, front of the line. Puts them in front of the warriors, and they begin to sing. Guess what? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. See, the thanksgiving preceded the deliverance. So you read the rest of the story. What happens? God caused a confusion to come on all the enemies, armies, and they begin to turn on each other and kill each other so that Israel didn't even have to engage in that battle. How cool is that? It started with thanksgiving before the deliverance. Here's another example, Jonah in the well. God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He goes, I don't think so. He goes the other way on a boat, and there's this big storm, and long story short, we know that they find out he's the reason the storm's there. He just says, if you throw me in the water, the storm's going to go away. It's all going to be good for you. They throw him in the water, and a fish swallows him, a whale. In the belly of the whale, Jonah praises God, and he prays. And it's this prayer of thanksgiving while he's in the belly of the whale before he's delivered from the belly. And we know the next thing is he's spit out. And what did he do after he was spit out? You do what you're told to do. He went to Nineveh, didn't he? Okay, I think I probably should go to Nineveh now. So he did. Another one in the New Testament, Paul and Silas, and I love this. They're beaten. They're put into jail. And it says about midnight. About midnight, they're in prison. And they're going, Man, this is terrible. We don't deserve this. What's going on? No, it doesn't say that. It says, while they were in jail, at midnight, they begin to pray, and I think that encompasses also Thanksgiving, pray and sing hymns to God. So these dudes are in prison. They're not free yet, but they're praising God. And it says when they were doing that, that the foundations of that jail shook and the hinges of the door fell off. They were free to go. And again, I mentioned a while ago, Jesus praying before he raises Lazarus from the dead. We see all of these examples, just to name a few, of thanking God in anticipation of deliverance or a blessing. Church, what would it look like if our prayers included that? Because we're really good at petition, aren't we? That means asking. We're really good at saying, God, I need you to come through in this marriage. God, I need you to come through in our finances. I need you to help this doctor figure out what's going on in my life. I need you to heal. We're good at asking. But what would it look like if we said, and God, while I'm at it, by the way, I want to say thank you. For what? Because you're sovereign. Because you're in control, because you already know the answers, because you're already working it out. Even though I don't understand how, I know that you're in control, and I want to thank. How many know that honors God? Yet there's another level of thankfulness that's on a whole nother level. And this is the one that always just amazes me when you see people are here. But being thankful and expressing gratitude in the midst of a battle or in the midst of a trial. How many of you have gone through some trials in life? Well, if not, buckle up, because the Bible says that. In this world, you will have troubles. You'll have trials. We're going to experience those. And in the midst of those trials, where's our focus at? In the midst of those trials, when we're thinking about panic, we're choosing to be bitter. We're choosing to be doubtful. We're choosing to be ungrateful, focusing on all the wrong things. We have this opportunity to show thanks and gratitude even in the midst of a trial. There's another example of that. Daniel. I love Daniel. Daniel was this righteous kid who was taken captivity, right, in Babylonian captivity. And while he was there, he was still faithful to his God. He's worshiping God. In fact, I believe that the reason they knew how to trap Daniel was because they had witnessed Daniel in his faithfulness of praying. Three times a day, open the windows, he would kneel down towards Jerusalem, and he would give thanks to God. And the bad dudes, here's what they said, the only way we're going to catch this cat is if we catch him in his own religion. And so they go to King Darius, and they say, hey, King Darius, we need you to make this little law. And in this law, we're going to say that nobody prays to anybody else but you, King Darius, for the next 30 days. And anybody that does, it's the death penalty, right? Now, time out for just a moment. That's a long time ago. What if today, we'll call it a president. What if a president does an executive order and says, tell you what, for the next 30 days, churches don't need to meet. Churches don't need to be praying. Don't need to be worshiping in the name of God. They're only going to worship me. We would say, you're out of your ever-loving mind. But how many churches would say, it's only 30 days. How many of us would say, well, maybe we just meet in an alternate location? Daniel could have said, let me just close the windows this time. I'm sure God would understand, right? Or maybe God would be okay if I just gave it a pat. I mean, God knows my heart. I've been faithful for so. Maybe he's going to give me some time off. No, in the midst of this death sentence, if you will, if you're caught doing it, what does it say that Daniel did? When Daniel heard this, when Daniel heard that, if anybody's caught praying to anybody but King Darius, it's the death penalty, death by lion in the lion's den, right? And it says when he heard that, he went home. And as usual, say usual, he just kept on keeping on, didn't he? He got on his knees, windows open towards Jerusalem. He bowed and thanked God. That is a whole nother level of thankfulness, isn't it? To say in the midst of the hardest seasons of life, I'm going to give thanks to God. And I believe it is something that should be evident in all of our lives as followers of Christ. Because, man, we have the answer to all the problems in Christ. And so, we know that we're to give thanks, and we're to give thanks when? Always. So, I'll ask it in the form of a question. When is the right time to choose gratitude? So, here's what happens when we choose gratitude instead of bitterness, ingratitude. Remember this, Paul said in the world, it's going to be a lot of ingratitude. Ungrateful, disrespectful to the parents, all these things. That's what's going to look like. That's the climate. And yet you, in the midst of that, as a backdrop, you're a different people. You're peculiar. You're my people. And I'm calling you to lives of gratitude, to choose gratitude. When everybody else is choosing the opposite, you choose gratitude. And when we do that, let me tell you what it does. It transforms our perspective. What do I mean by that? It causes us to focus on things differently than we're focusing on them currently. So you're in the middle, you're driving down the road. Okay, fresh example. Yesterday, I'm driving down the road and I'm trying to be the responsible driver. And instead of texting, I'm doing the voice to text with Siri. You know her, right? She and I have a love-hate relationship. She's cool, but she never listens to me. And I yell at her, and she will say sometimes, "That wasn't nice," or something like that. She doesn't respond to me many times now. I think it's because I've given her so much shade in the past. But yesterday, I'm driving down the road, and I'm trying to be responsible. So I send this voice text, and I'm speaking with enunciation because I want to make sure that she doesn't send the wrong text, because that's extremely embarrassing too. And I tell her, and six times she repeats the absolute wrong thing back. And I'm like, "No!" And I'm yelling at my truck and Siri and calling her a moron and that stuff. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, time out. I'm talking about gratitude tomorrow. I probably need to get this thing in check. So I realize I'm driving a truck. There are people that don't have vehicles. And I'm blessed to have one that gets me to point A to point B. And it's actually a kind of a cool truck. Siri, not so much. But the rest of it's really cool. And I'm like, you know what? The perspective needs to change, doesn't it? You're driving down the road, you have a flat. How many people go, "Of course it's going to happen to me. Everything bad happens to me. Of course it's me," right? Oh, here we go. Or, "Why me? Everything always happens to me. This is the absolute worst time, and now I'm going to be late," and blah, blah, and we just choose bitterness, anger, griping, complaining, right? Instead, we just say, you know what, God, I'm going to choose gratitude, and I'm going to say, "I'm thankful I have a spare in my truck. I'm thankful I got a jack. I'm thankful I got a phone. I can call a friend. I'm thankful that, you know," and here's another, have you ever done this? Perhaps there was a wreck down the road, and this was God's way of just keeping me protected. Have you ever done that? My wife reminds me of that every time something like that. I'm like, just stop it. It's not what it was. But I mean, really? When we choose gratitude, it transforms our perspective. It causes us to focus on things differently. And there's always something to be thankful for, church. Amen? Even in the midst of the hard seasons in life, there's always something to focus on where we can express our gratitude to God. Another thing that it does is it strengthens our witness. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We're a peculiar people. Some of you a little more than others, but we're a peculiar people. That means we are different than the world. And when we choose gratitude against the backdrop of an ungrateful world in these last days, it stands out. And it's a powerful witness. And people are looking at us going, there's something different about those people. It demonstrates a transformed heart and a Christ-centered perspective that stands out in a world often marked by entitlement, negativity, and discontent. It also reflects God's work in us. Hey, God's working on me. That person used to be bitter all the time. Now they're expressing gratitude all the time. It glorifies God publicly, right? When we choose gratitude, it's like, man, somebody's looking at that and go, it's just out there. You're public with it. I'm bringing glory to God by showing gratitude. I believe it's very involved in our faith, right? It displays great faith. And it also demonstrates contentment. God, I know you're in control. Because God don't always operate on my time schedule, right? And he may not answer my my prayers in the way that I think he should answer, but here's one thing I know, that he knows better. He knows best. And I can trust him. Amen? And so when we choose gratitude, it aligns our hearts with God's will. That's another thing. It demonstrates that contentment, but it aligns our hearts with God's will. People say, Shane, what is God's will for my life? I just want to know what God wants me to do. What is his will? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Here we go. Ready? Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Listen here. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will? Hey, he wants us to be joyful. He wants us to pray continually. And he wants us to give thanks in all circumstances. We are to choose gratitude. So imagine for a moment, you know, we can be grateful in our hearts, but I believe gratitude is to be expressed as well. Imagine for a moment somebody does something really nice to you or for you, and you're like, man, I'm really thankful for what they've done for me, and I want to show them my appreciation and how much I just value them. And so you go and you buy them a gift, right? And you wrap it up. You're like, I just want to show my appreciation and my gratitude to them for what they've done. And just imagine that you get it all wrapped up, and you've spent a lot of time thinking on the perfect gift, but then you just leave it at your house in a corner, wrapped. You walk by it every once in a while and go, man, I'm so thankful for that person. But has it done that other person any good? There's no value. It's not reaching its intended target. It's a wasted gift. It never reaches the person it was meant for. It never brings the joy that it was intended to bring. It's just stuck with me. And so gratitude works the same way. Feeling thankful but not expressing it is like holding on to this gift. No one knows the gratitude inside unless you say it or show it. The joy of the gift, your thanks, stays wrapped and unused. James 1, verse 17 tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above. How many know God has given us many, many blessings? Many gifts, if you will. God blesses us in so many ways, but imagine if we never thanked Him for that. It's like keeping the gift and never giving it back to the one who gave us everything. So church, I want us to know that we should be expressive in our thanksgiving. We should tell God, thank you. We should express gratitude. We should choose it and we should express it. And I think it goes beyond that. You ever received a note of encouragement or just a phone call or a text that says, hey, thank you? How does it make you feel? Good, right? I got one of those this week. I was like, man, what a blessing. That's cool. It's cool to get those. It's also cool to give those. Have you ever given a gift to somebody and they totally ignored or just didn't even acknowledge it? It's usually the kids, right? Parent, hook the kids up with everything and anything and there's no thanks. And you're like, you little brat. Knowing, it's frustrating. You're like, oh, really? No gratitude? But what if sometimes we're on the other side of that and we've received a gift and we forget, we get sidetracked and we don't say thank you in return? How do we feel then? Oh, man, we're going to feel bad, don't we? Now imagine all that God does for us and has done for us, and we're His children, and it's like saying to Father God, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for me. I want to express gratitude. When the world wants to choose, you know, bitterness, ingratitude, I want to choose gratitude because I know it glorifies you. I know it's a powerful witness to everyone around me. It transforms my perspective, and we need to transform our perspective, especially in this time of the year. It'll stress you out, won't it? Just get in the car. I think I've got PTSD from driving on Sauncey around Christmas time now because we were in a wreck a couple of years ago it just transforms our perspective so that we choose gratitude, we express that gratitude. And so I would say this, church, be mindful of that as we gather this week for Thanksgiving. It's so much more than just football, tryptophan hangovers, endless supply of food and family. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on the bounty and the goodness of God. In fact, let's just take that same proclamation 401 years ago and let me repeat it. Inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest from Walmart of macaroni and cheese and fish sticks and chicken and steak and shrimp, right? All those things. Potatoes. Leave the yams on the shelf. God has given us this year an abundance of food. He has made the forest to abound, the game, the sea, and the fish. He's provided for us all that we need for survival. And inasmuch as He has protected us from the ravages of the savages. I mean, there's some places in America that are a little bit sketchy and dangerous, but I think overall, God has protected us many times from the ravages of the savages. Can I get an amen? He has spared us from pestilence and disease. He has granted us freedom to worship God. We're still free to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Church, we should be a grateful people. And that would be my proclamation. As we gather Thursday, let it be a time of reflection. Let it be a time of just remembrance. And maybe around the table, you just take a little time to share with your family what you're grateful for. Right? We used to do this before we would eat. Like, okay, give me something you're thankful for. And we'd make all the kids say something. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to reach out to somebody else and say, hey, I just want you to know how much of a blessing you are in my life. And I'm extremely grateful for you, your words, your encouragement, you're there for me, whatever that may be, but just expressive gratitude. Listen, in a world where entitlement, complaint, and negativity often overshadow thankfulness, God calls His children to stand out by cultivating hearts of gratitude. Being thankful isn't just a fleeting feeling, it's a deliberate choice. It's a choice. An act of faith that's rooted in God's goodness and His sovereignty. Choosing gratitude transforms our perspective, it strengthens our witness, and it aligns our hearts with God's will. Even in challenges, we are called to be thankful in all circumstances, reflecting the hope and the joy found in Christ. So let us choose gratitude daily, and let it set us apart as His people. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we begin with thanks. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for making a way for us to be included in your family through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thankful for the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my prayer, my ask, my petition today would be that if there's anyone here today that has not placed their faith in the gospel, I pray that today would be the day that they just trust you, that you've done everything that is necessary for them to be made right with you through the gospel, and they would just trust in the finished work of Jesus. And for those of us who've placed our faith in you, we say thank you. But God, help us to live our lives every day as though when we wake up, we can choose to be rushed, flustered, angry, bitter. Help us to choose gratitude. Help us to look for the things that are working, because there's always something that we can look to that is working. Help us to count our blessings, as the old song says, name them one by one, and it may surprise us what you've done in our lives. And so, God, we just say thank you. We want to return that to you. And Lord, I pray that this week we could just reflect on that we would not let Thanksgiving skip past us. I hear my mother-in-law's voice. We need to be thankful. So God, help us to be a thankful people, reflecting that we are your children, or demonstrating our faith in gratitude, and I humbly ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.